Mazzara and Parra project to Alimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Hey, today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, we are looking for the big finish. Who are some hitters who are going to have big Augusts and Septembers and help you win a fantasy title? Well, unfortunately, Al Melchior is not really going to help you win a fantasy title. Only two more shows for Al. Man, this stinks, Al.
Well, I'm going to really do my best to help people in week 20.
Okay.
It is week 20, right? Coming up?
Coming up, yeah, week 20.
That is crazy.
I bet if you tweet Al, he'll still answer your questions. You're still going to let...
I've already told people, you know, who have asked me if I'll answer questions. Of course, I'll answer your questions. I will answer questions from the road on the way to Montana, just not while I'm driving.
Now, here's my question. Are you going to still follow fantasy baseball and baseball as you normally would if you were, you know, working at CBS? You're going to look at the box scores and look at the stats, the advanced stats and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No change there.
Well, they're very cool. Then expect some tweets from me.
All right.
Email us, everybody, at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It's just me and Al on the show today. We have some emails later. We have some Al mails later. These are emails that are about Al and, you know, celebrating Al and also about fantasy baseball, which is what Al would want to do. Now, I'm going to throw out something here. American League Cy Young, Jay Happ. What do you think?
He's got a shot. I think he's got a shot, and you know, Happ is fortunate in that the first 3 months of the season, he really wasn't the same pitcher he was in the second half last year, but he had this crazy high strand rate that kept the ERA respectable, and now he's back to doing what he did do after he went to the Pirates last year, getting a lot of strikeouts, and still stranding a lot of runners, but it doesn't matter because the xFIP is still under 3 since the beginning of July. So even if he regresses, he's just going to regress to the point of being a really excellent pitcher.
Yeah, he's must start right now, Jay Happ. He's 16-3. So maybe back before all the metrics came out, Jay Happ could win the Cy Young because he's 16-3. But he has a 2.96 ERA and a 1.14 WHIP. And over the last 7 starts, Happ has 55 strikeouts. I didn't write the innings down, but a lot fewer innings than that, somewhere in the 40s. So he's been really good, and yeah, you're starting him. Theme song. So yesterday, people were very upset to learn that you are, you know, leaving at the end of the week, but also people were very, very upset to learn that I was even considering getting rid of the theme song. I got a lot of feedback on this, which encouraged me. People are still listening and caring right now, but I would say a solid 95% of the feedback I got was keep the theme song. And some of it was, why are people complaining? Just hit the skip, the 15-second forward button twice. That's really all you got to do, people. It's 30 seconds on Monday through Thursday. It's like a minute and 20 seconds or something on Friday when I play the extended version. So if you're getting sick of it, I apologize. It is here to stay through the end of the year. And then you can write us a new one next year. But Al, I think you'll be happy to know the theme song's not going anywhere.
I am happy to hear that. And unless you do a new cut, I'll in a way, small way, still live on the podcast.
Yes. What if we just edited your name out? Oh, that'd be so mean.
I will tune in just to hear what that would sound like.
Who stood out to you in Wednesday's games? And we're going to talk about the big finishers. We're going to talk about Jeff Samardzija's big start. We got injury updates for you. A lot coming out of the Red Sox organization. A lot of injury updates. Steven Wright won't pitch tonight. We have Ortiz and Betts a little banged up. But who stood out to you on Wednesday?
Well, I mean, you know, we already talked about Jay Happ, and to me, he was the big standout. But a couple other pitchers stood out too. Both in a good way, really. Robbie Ray, who... before the season, I pegged as a breakout and then was disappointed because he didn't really break out in the way that I hoped he would. And maybe that's being too picky because he's just become a monster strikeout source. And that's only just gained even more steam over the last 10 starts. 80 strikeouts in 59 2/3 innings. But yeah. The thing that's really drawn my attention was on Wednesday, another start with good control. And he has now, in those same 10 starts, only 16 walks.
I know, but his ERA's been so bad.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, no matter how he improves, how many different ways Robbie Ray improves, he kind of winds up in the same place. And it's not like he gives up home runs. And I don't know that that's going to change, but it's not like an exorbitant number of home runs. But he has, over the 10 game stretch, a 361 BABIP, which I think is actually lower than what it was before the stretch.
Well, so, yeah, Ray had a very good start last night with only 4 strikeouts in 7 innings, but you'll take it because he didn't give up a run at the Mets. 3 hits, no walks. He had a start 4 starts ago, 7 scoreless with 7 strikeouts against the Dodgers, and then he got lit up. 13 earned runs over 16 and 2/3 in his following 3 starts. He's a lot better on the road with a 3.80 ERA than he is at home, but even his last home start, or even his last 2 road starts before last night were not good for Robbie Ray. 2-star pitcher next week. He gets the Mets again, and then he's at San Diego. I don't even know if the matchups matter with him, though, Al. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, they may not matter, but I also think that I feel pretty good about starting Robbie Ray with 2 starts no matter what, and especially in a points league. I mean, maybe in a roto league that the ERA is something that might hurt you. And again, that's assuming that the high ERA persists. I think Robbie Ray just might be kind of the anti-James Shields, where, you know, Shields, and of course that started to turn around, but, you know, start after start after start with a bad strikeout to walk ratio, and yet he kept on turning in quality starts. With Ray, it's sort of the inverse of that, and I think eventually his luck will turn. But even if it doesn't, I think Ray is safe for 2 starts.
All right, Jason Worth is 57% owned, and he has a 40-game on-base streak dating back to June 20th, which is one day after my birthday. So this is almost... No, I would say he turned it around since my birthday. 40 game.
Your birthday
was
a monumental day in baseball. It really was.
It really, yeah. People really changed their season. Basically, the middle of the year, June 19th, perfect time to get things going in the right direction. Middle of, like, the actual year. Anyway, here's what Worth has done. Well, first of all, he's hit 2 home runs in his last 3 games. But he has been so unbelievably unimpressive in this 40-game on-base streak. It blows my mind. How can you have a 40-game on-base streak and be the number 30 outfielder in points leagues when you're walking all the time, and the number 48 outfielder in roto leagues? And it would be even worse than that without the home runs in consecutive games. So he says he's being more patient at the plate. It's obviously showing. But I don't know, 57% owned. I had him in a 5 outfielder league. I dropped him because he doesn't really do anything in the categories formats unless it's an OBP league. What do you think about Jason Worth?
I think he, I don't know, in a, yeah, 3 outfielder league, I suppose you could probably do better anyway, but 5 outfielder league, I think Worth is worth picking up. Cause I'm looking at, you know, where could he possibly be losing value? He's not producing runs.
Well, look, he's not, he doesn't homer. He doesn't hit for a good batting average. He doesn't steal. He doesn't produce runs, as you were saying. And I don't know if he's really scoring runs. He's scored, I don't even have it. He's not scoring an inordinate amount of runs. He's not really doing anything. If you're in an OBP league, it changes a little bit.
Sure. But I think he could do something. You know, again, sort of what I was saying about Robbie Ray, that, you know, I think maybe if, and I could just take a look here and see what his batting average is with runners, runners in scoring position. It's 198. So that explains the RBI. I'm not exactly sure why he's also not scoring that much.
You know, their cleanup hitter is a 233 hitter.
That's Harper. Everything is Bryce Harper's fault.
I actually don't know if Harper's hitting 3rd and Murphy hits 4th. I don't remember. They don't have a great lineup. I wonder where they rank. You think they're in the top 10 in runs scored?
I'm going to guess maybe just short. That's something that the internet can help us both out with.
Yeah, I'll find that out.
While you look that up, and I'm going to do just kind of a quick subject change here because I had said there were 2 pitchers that caught my attention. So I think we should also talk about King Felix a little bit.
Yeah. I certainly bet against him on our opening line podcast. That was my pick of the night, was Detroit to beat the Mariners. I just thought they had a big pitching advantage. And this was definitely the best start that Felix Hernandez has had since coming off the DL. But he still walked 4 guys. He gave up just 1 run, I think, in 7 innings. So a good start for him, out-dueling Justin Verlander. They both pitched very well. It's really the bullpens decided it. But yeah, those walks, What do you think? What do you think right now about Felix? By the way, the Nationals are ninth in runs scored. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a good call. Top 10, good over under. As far as Felix goes, yeah, I'm slightly encouraged here. I mean, the four walks certainly fit the season long pattern of him not having the sharp control that he usually does. But he also, he threw a lot of strikes in the start. And sometimes, it just plays out that way. So I trust the strikes thrown ratio more than the walks per nine. And, it's the second start in a row that was, pretty good overall, though in the previous start against the Angels did allow four runs, but it was over eight innings.
Yeah, I think three came in the first inning.
Yeah. So, not overwhelming, but it seems like there are signs that he's turning the corner.
I watched a little bit of that game last night. What I saw was, pretty good. Started off an inning by giving up a hard line drive to left center field, and Aoki made a really good play. And that had the announcer talking about another really good play that was made behind him that I didn't see. But Kyle Seager, I think there was a runner on maybe first and third, and Seager made a great play on a hard hit ball to third for a double play. And so it kind of gave me the impression that he got a little lucky last night, but that was only like the fifth or sixth, maybe the fifth inning. So I guess I'm probably just looking too much into two plays, probably because I don't really trust Felix Hernandez and I'm trying to make a case against him. But I guess, Al, I should be sort of encouraged by this.
Yeah, that raises a much bigger point that I've wanted to address at times, and since I've only got 2 days left to do it, I guess I can do it now, which is that...
You can do whatever the hell you want right now, Al. No consequences.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter said they're looking forward to my bold out-the-door or halfway out the door predictions. I'm not sure that those are coming. But no, I mean, we were saying that, you saw two plays and you were sort of, your perception was skewed by those. I mean, not only do, at least speaking for myself, do I see bits and pieces of games on any given night, but we can only watch so many games.
Sure.
So... I really do, take to heart, when people suggest that, we should maybe lean a little less on the stats and the analytics. But we kind of have to in a way, because, not only is the eye test not only sometimes inaccurate just in terms of, judging what you see. Cause, I'm no trained scout. So sometimes even when I do watch, I can't always trust what I see, but then there's, kind of the selection bias of what I see and what I don't see.
Absolutely. And I really kind of pride myself on watching a lot of games. And it's not so I can sit there as a scout and talk about what I've seen necessarily. I do try to do that when I feel pretty confident in what I'm saying, but I rely a lot on the team broadcasters who watch these people all the time, who have a lot of insight. And they usually give some pretty good tidbits throughout the starts, specifically with the pitchers, about what they're doing, what they've been working on, and I can take a lot of that into the show. Last week or so, as football has ramped up and I've been working on the position previews, which are coming out now, I have not really had much time to scan and watch the game, so I apologize for that. I really miss it. I want to sit down, have nothing to do one night, and just watch baseball for a few hours and learn some things. But I haven't really been able to do that lately. So, yeah, when you can't do that, you do have to rely on the stats. I totally get it.
Greg, it's an excellent point, because I certainly do, and I don't think I credit them nearly enough, do rely on the analysis from the broadcasters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great stuff. And I wish I had heard – I watched a lot of the Yankees-Red Sox game last night, and I saw most of Drew Pomeranz's start. I didn't see when it went really bad for him because I was eating dinner. But, the last two times I've seen Pomeranz was both on, like, Wednesday Night Baseball on ESPN. One was against the Tigers, one was against the Yankees. And his curveball is just outstanding. And it was for a lot of the start yesterday against the Yankees, and then he started elevating it a lot. He got hit pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And, I guess we can call him a standout in kind of a negative way, because he only threw five good innings. He left in the sixth, and it just continues a trend of a lot of home runs with the Red Sox and very underwhelming results in his five starts with Boston. And yesterday wasn't terrible or anything. Five innings, one run, five and a third, one run. But he left after putting two runners on in the sixth. And overall, didn't get a quality start. Probably not what you were looking for from Pomeranz.
Yeah, that's his best start, though, right? Since getting traded?
I think he had one better. I think the one against the Tigers
Okay.
was better.
So I took it as an encouraging sign, but you're right. You know, far from ideal.
All right. We're going to talk about pitchers you trust later on. Now, runners in scoring position. Freddie Freeman is also struggling with runners in scoring position. 213. He is just outside the top 12 at first base. He had a two-homer game yesterday. He's had a lot of really good games here and there that have helped the season. But, Al, we are seeing Freddie Freeman with the highest strikeout rate of his career, but also the best slugging percentage, and he's going to almost certainly set a career high in home runs this year. He's already got 21. His career high is 23. So a bit of a different player this year, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. You know, and it's his development has, you know, taken a couple of sort of unexpected turns. One thing I wanted to look into was how he's done since the Matt Kemp trade. And now I'm trying to, because I think that was the,
he's done
the day
fine.
Before the deadline, wasn't it?
I mean, it's been basically last night has changed how he's done since the
yeah.
trade, you know?
It's kind of the Brandon Crawford effect, one yeah. game. Because certainly my perception is that, you know, he's been better without Kemp, or I should say since the addition of Kemp.
Well, look, the runners in scoring position thing is huge because Freeman has 21 home runs. He has 48 runs batted in. That's insane. The
yeah.
team is terrible. And if you don't hit with runners in scoring position and you're on a terrible team, he's really hurt by the RBIs.
I do think that, you know, he's due to rebound from that. You know, and if there is anything to, you know, him hitting a little better with Kemp in the lineup, then, you know, that'll help. And then I think just, you know, hitting better with runners in scoring position. And it's just as bad as that lineup has been. I just don't think it should hurt him that much. I know I've seen instances of players hitting in bad lineups who have not had their run production, hurt to this extent.
Al, David Phelps is 20% owned. He's got two starts next week at Cincinnati and at Pittsburgh. He's had, you know, two fairly encouraging starts as a starter, his first two starts of the season, and he threw 91 pitches. So yesterday, maybe he'll be able to get to the sixth inning mark in his next start. At Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh next week, is David Phelps under-owned at 20%?
Yeah, I think he should be much more owned than that. And I think he, you know, will be. I think I could see him being a pretty popular target for the two start group
yeah.
next week.
Would you drop Brandon Finnegan for him?
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather have Robbie Ray or David Phelps?
I'd rather have Robbie Ray. Although I will say, you know, you brought up the innings issue with Phelps. Ray, as much as he's improved his walk rate, is still incredibly inefficient.
Would you rather have Drew Smyly, who has two starts at home against San Diego and Texas, or David Phelps?
I think I'd rather have Smyly.
Yeah, I like Phelps. I picked him up in our 16-team league. Didn't have the guts to start him. I will next week, but I'd rather have Smyly.
We have a very, very pleasant surprise here.
Oh, yeah?
Chris Towers.
No way!
Podcast studio. Way.
All right, we'll get him on in just a second. We're going to talk about David Robertson blowing another save, actually some more bullpen developments, but I am very excited to tell everybody about our latest sponsor, Harry's. Very excited to save you money. I use Harry's shaving set. I love it. Now you go to harrys.com, harrys.com, and get started with the Truman set and save money with our offer code, which I'll tell you about. I shaved a couple of nights ago. I don't shave that much these days because I'm not on camera anymore, but I shaved a couple nights ago with my Harry's razor, and I promise you, I swear, it was the best shave I've ever had thanks to their super sharp blades. With Harry's, you get a great shave at a great price. They ship the set right to you. No middleman, no upcharges, half the price of the leading brand. New customers, you should check out Harry's starter set on harrys.com. It's called the Truman. Pretty cool. Great option for new customers, and it's an amazing deal for just $15. This is what you get. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors, and you get $5 off your first purchase with the promo code FBT. So all of that, the razor, the shaving cream, three blades, great sharp blades, all of that for $10 if you use the promo code FBT as in fantasy baseball today. Harrys.com, Harrys, look for the Truman set, enter that offer code FBT, support our podcast, get that $5 off, and stop compromising, give Harry's a try. Chris Towers!
Hey!
What's
up? I can't stay for long, but I knew you were about to talk about shaving, so I had to come in and and make my presence felt. You know?
Dude, this would be perfect for you. You need to get on this Harry's shaving set.
We've got a football meeting in a few minutes. I can't stay for long. I can't talk much baseball, but I did realize as I was coming in that I wouldn't have an opportunity to do a last podcast with Al. I needed to make sure I got one last opportunity. So here I am for a few minutes.
That's very nice. And while you're here, we get this thread going in the podcast league for podcast for the people league that Chris is in and Al's in and Heath and Scott, we're all in it. And it's a goodbye Al thread basically. Chris Towers, have you responded to one thread in the podcast league all year long? It's like, we let you in the league. We started this league so you could be in a podcast league.
You are so regretting stopping in now, aren't you?
I respond to them. I usually don't do it on the league page, though, so they might not show up. I'll usually respond via email.
Yeah, so do I. And they show up to everyone. Reply to all, my friend.
Apparently, I haven't made enough of an impact on Adam Azer because I have definitely replied in this league. The league's not going so well for me. My strategy of eschewing closers entirely blew up in my face pretty rapidly and left me in a big hole that I could never quite pull out of.
Give us one fantasy baseball take while you're here, Chris.
Oh boy, that you can't put me on the spot like
okay,
that.
Okay. Then let's go back to the notes and you can contribute for as long as you'd like. Here's the big news: the Astros DFA'd Carlos Gomez. Jose Bautista is on the DL with a sprained knee. We will talk about Melvin Upton in a little bit. Steven Wright not going to start tonight. He has a jammed shoulder that he sustained last week while he was pinch running. Dustin Pedroia led off for the Red Sox. Xander Bogaerts hit second, and they moved Mookie Betts to third, but he left with calf tightness. He's day-to-day. Betts does not think it's a big deal. Cavs are tricky cats. We know that, so let's keep an eye on it. And David Ortiz, unlikely to play today. He fouled the ball off his shin. It looked bad, but it is not considered serious. David Ortiz right now is day-to-day. The Yankees sent Luis Severino down to work on his changeup, but Nate Eovaldi left with elbow discomfort, so I do wonder if Severino will come back. And Jeremy Hellickson left with back tightness. He says he's fine. Giancarlo Stanton could be back on Friday. Corey Seager hit by a pitch on the wrist. We're hoping for the best there. Rich Hill. Whoa, surprise. Rich Hill had his next start pushed back. With the blister. Unbelievable. Carlos Gonzalez sat again with an ankle injury. Dallas Keuchel, guys, he gets a do-over. We can't just completely forget this, can we? The game got rained out, and they only played a few innings. But he gave up 4 or 5 runs. He had a terrible start against the Twins, and now I guess it was the Twins.
Never happened.
Never happened?
Never happened.
Okay. So he's still coming off a complete game shutout. Prince Fielder is retiring. Yeah. Tigers relief pitcher Alex Wilson talked about how effective cupping is. What is cupping? All those weird circles that you see on Michael Phelps and all the swimmers and all the gymnasts.
I do have some hot takes about cupping.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it, because this is very interesting stuff. And I am loving the Olympics so far, by the way. Tremendous
Olympics. The Olympics are the best. I just love watching the Olympics. The swimming, the flippies, the runnies. It's fantastic. I love the whole thing.
Yes.
Cupping is probably BS, right? Like, it probably doesn't do anything. But I guess if it makes the people who are having the cupping done to them feel like it does something.
Why are you saying that? I mean, Alex Wilson said he was on a team with 2 Japanese players.
Yeah.
And they were the ones, and this is where, this came over from, pretty sure, Japan. Maybe China.
China, I think.
China. Okay, well, the Japanese pitchers were doing it. And he says it works. They swear by it. You think it's just a placebo effect, apparently, Chris?
I think what works about it? It does bruise your skin. That works. I'm not, having read one article about it, I consider myself an expert on this ancient medical practitioner. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But if it makes Alex Wilson feel like it works, it probably works, right? Like, isn't that how this thing works?
That works for me. I don't know whether it does or not, but these people are doing it, so good for cupping.
Well, Scott and I will cup before tomorrow's podcast. We'll see how that goes.
And Bryce Harper misses 3rd straight game with a stiff neck. So let's go on to big finishes. Do you expect big finishes from the following players? Bryce Harper, go.
You know what? I'm going to say no, which means that before I leave, I need to drop him in my rankings. But,
yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't say it's a totally lost season, but I mean, this funk has been longer than Stanton's, right?
What reason do we have to expect a big finish besides just he's been good before, so he will be good at some point again? Why not now? But,
yeah,
you know, the trends are all moving in the wrong direction still. I do think it's kind of a lost season, and, you know, he's still going to finish as a top 30 outfielder, but that's a big disappointment.
I still feel like he's going to have a good... Well, I did feel like he was going to have a very good finish because I know he's not this bad, and I know he'll get a turned around Bryce Harper. But now I am a little concerned about the neck thing. You know,
yep, and that's can't figure also it out. Something to take into account. Yeah,
certainly doesn't help.
Yeah. All right, Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt is actually the number 5 first baseman in fantasy, and he's only 18.5 fantasy points behind Anthony Rizzo. So it's pretty bunched at the top. Rizzo's number 1. Goldschmidt's 5th in points and Roto. And last few games have been pretty good, but overall the season, 297, which is down from 321 last year. 18 home runs, he hit 33 last year. 110 RBIs last year, he's got 74 this year. I guess that's probably not too far off the pace. The runs, though, 110 last year, only 66 this year. The steals, probably pretty close, 21 last year, 14 this year, and still a great walk-to-strikeout ratio. Highest ground ball rate of his career. Thought that was pretty interesting for Goldschmidt. Anyway, do you think Paul Goldschmidt, who has been struggling in his last 35 games, not terribly, but not great, will he have a big finish, Goldschmidt?
Yeah, I think he will, just because there's every reason to think that he'll be, really for any period of time, the largely consistent player and elite level player that he's been for a few years. So I'm not saying I expect him to, you know, again, make up for lost time, but I think he'll be typical Paul Goldschmidt from here on out, and that's a big finish.
Yeah.
Okay, cool with Goldschmidt. Tim Tebow, do you think Tim Tebow will have a big finish, guys?
I don't think he'll have any finish.
He's going to do great stuff for our clicks, just in the sports media.
That's right. Sports media will have a big finish.
Yeah. I'm sure he has already done so. Lorenzo Cain, is there any reason to think Lorenzo Cain is going to have a big finish?
I think
an okay finish.
I think last year was such an outlier, and it, you know, he's back to being the previously established version of Lorenzo Cain, except without stolen bases. I know he's had some injuries this season that haven't helped, but yeah.
So no.
Yeah.
All right. How about Andrew Benintendi, 57% owned? He's off to a 9-for-20 start. He's had some really good at bats against the Yankees over the past couple of days. It's been fun watching him. Even with a 1-for-4 day yesterday, he lined out to the pitcher on a great at bat, and he almost homered 2 days ago. It was reviewed. It was ruled a homer. It was reviewed. It was called a double. Benintendi still got to worry about him sitting against lefties, but do you think he'll have a big finish? And he's available in 43% of our leagues.
I think Benintendi will be good, but you know, you do mention the platoon issue with him, and I also think he'll probably just hit a rough patch at some point. That'll prevent him from having this really big, impressive finish.
His plate discipline is really impressive. He's had some really good, like you said, some really good at bats where, you know, he takes borderline pitches, fouls some off. He's got a really impressive approach at the plate, but he's probably not going to play every day to become a must-start fantasy guy.
Yeah, I watch the Red Sox and I just say we're all like Billy Madison picks up the dodgeball. That's how I feel like the Red Sox are right now. Now you're all in big, big trouble. They're young talent. It just blows me away.
It's ridiculous. And Dave Dombrowski hasn't traded all of it yet.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like they're going to win the World Series this year, although I also kind of feel like they're not going to make the playoffs. It's weird. They're not in the playoffs right now. A couple more. Jose Abreu, number 24 first baseman in points leagues, number 25 in Roto this year, but heating up, 412 batting average with 3 home runs and 2 doubles in August, a 735 slugging percentage. Jose Abreu, big finish coming?
I don't think so. I mean, August is still young.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of false starts from Abreu this year, but it's been a whole lot of meh for the most part.
I want to say yes, but I don't know if I can, just because it's been just a completely mediocre season from him.
Yeah, really has.
And kind of trending in the wrong direction, I feel like, since he was a rookie, the power especially.
Gregory Polanco, guys. Since June 1st, Gregory Polanco was batting 244 with 8 home runs, which is not bad since June 1st, but only four steals. 244 with a 314 on base, 429 slugging percentage, seven doubles in 48 games. So I know there, you know, there have been some injuries. He's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. He's been kind of banged up. Do you think Gregory Polanco, who looked like a breakout star, will have a big finish?
I guess I have to go. No, this is one I just really, I just feel like I have to make something up because I don't, I started off the year being very, you know, pessimistic about his breakout chances. And then I thought he really proved something. But again, it was really over just 2 months. So I could kind of see it going either way. I mean, I'm thinking about Starling Marte a couple years ago when he finished like a house on fire. And it didn't necessarily mean anything about him being a breakout guy at that point. So I think Polanco is capable of it is all I'm really trying to say.
Yeah, he's so much of that hot start was about, you know, he was hitting the cover off the ball, obviously, but he was also he had taken a big step forward with his plate discipline and that had helped. And that kind of regressed a little bit, but you know, he's now been as good for, he was been good for as long as he's been mediocre this season. I think he'll be better than he has been since June 1st.
Yeah. I just want him to stay healthy, Polanco, get in there, get in the lineup more regularly. Now, do you guys have anybody in mind, maybe that you've written about lately that you think could have a big finish? I know we've crossed the trade deadline in a lot of leagues, but not all leagues. So is there anyone that you think has some great baseball left ahead of them?
Devin Travis is heating up, and he's up to this point maybe falling slightly short of my expectations. I could see him getting in a groove.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I don't have anybody in particular. I hope everybody finishes the season well.
That's very nice of you to say. Let's talk about some bullpens.
Well, that's actually going to do it for me. I got to get going. We've got a meeting in about 5 minutes. I just wanted to make a little cameo and say goodbye to Al officially on the podcast. Al, it's been a pleasure working with you. I will have to email you for all of my Excel questions moving forward.
We'll be happy to do that. So, yeah, I'm glad you dropped in, Chris. It's been a blast.
Goodbye, fantasy baseball people. Until next time. Goodbye, Adam.
See you later, Chris Towers. Respond to some league emails, will you?
No.
All right, bullpens now. Bullpen stuff that doesn't matter. Nick Vincent got a save for Seattle. Edwin Diaz was unavailable. John Axford got a save for Oakland. Ryan Matson had pitched the previous two games. And Adam Ottavino did blow a save, but he came in with runners on base, maybe even the bases loaded. He gave up a single, so wasn't your typical blown save. Bullpen stuff that might matter. David Robertson blew his second save in as many games, his sixth on the season, and the walks. Two walks in one inning yesterday and 25 on the season and 47 and a third. And it's just been a bad year for David Robertson. Do you think that matters?
I think it could. And was it yesterday? I think we talked about closers that could lose their jobs or be on the move. And in Robertson's case, I think it could be either or. You mentioned Nate Jones has had a really nice year. So, you know, whether it's just a chance for the White Sox to see what Jones can do or if they're going to deal Robertson, I think there's a, I'm going to say, 50% chance that Jones, for one reason or another, replaces Robertson.
Jake Barrett blew another save, his fourth, and he has control issues too. He pitched poorly at the Mets last night for Arizona. Would you think about picking up Enrique Burgos?
Probably not. Probably not. Just because I'd rather pick up, say, Raisel Iglesias, who I just think is better and probably has an equally good opportunity. Burgos hasn't really been great this year, but that said, when, you know, Barrett took over, I think Chip Hale had said something to the effect that, you know, there could be a number of guys who could get a chance at saves. So, you know, I wouldn't expect Barrett to have a, you know, just an absolute lock on the job.
Okay. Now I'm reading here in the Chicago Tribune. Sorry, Al. I was looking for some David Robertson research. Robertson was slowed by a left leg strain before the break, but Sox manager Robin Ventura said he hasn't let on if that affected him. Quote, arm-wise, velocity-wise, Robertson's where he was, just not quite as sharp, Ventura said. The swings lefties are getting on him, maybe the cutter isn't as big as it has been, and burying it inside. He has to be better, he has to be sharper, we're not telling him something he doesn't feel. So maybe there's an injury there with the leg strain. He has said he's not playing through an injury, but players lie about that stuff all the time.
Yeah, sure. And so there's a third, you know, potential reason for Robertson to not close.
Matt Bush got a save. Sam Dyson and Jeremy Jeffress dealt with some heavy workloads lately, so I guess they were unavailable. But Bush is pitching really well. I guess we're probably still a little ways away from that, but I think you should be on people's radars, Matt Bush.
I do too. I would think of the three that could succeed Dyson, and again, I don't think Dyson, you know, has a complete hold on the job either. Bush is probably the one more than Diekman or Jeffress. I would think that would be in line to succeed him.
Now, here are some owl mails. Sorry if you don't want to hear emails right now. I don't care. I want to celebrate Al Melchior. This is from Leonard Donaldson from Northwest Ohio. Say it ain't so, Al. I've read you for years. I believe even when the aforementioned rival podcaster wrote for CBS, you were with the CBS team. I'm not sure what he's referring to there.
Me neither.
I have enjoyed you on video and podcasts. Always a great different point of view and fit my demographics, age, and where you were raised. You will be missed. Good luck on your new adventure.
Ah, well, that's very awesome. Thank you, Leonard.
Yeah, and actually, we also had an email from Josh who gave us what to do in Bozeman, Montana. Do you want to know some of the things to do in Bozeman, Montana?
I do. I clicked. You put the link in the notes, so I clicked on the link. I've already done one of these things.
Okay, it was the TripAdvisor link, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Museum of the Rockies, downtown Bozeman.
Okay, actually two of the things then, because I've been to downtown.
Yeah, the American Computer Museum.
Didn't know that was there.
The Bridger Bowl. It looks like something skiing. Yeah, that's skiing. Palisade Falls. Those are beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, there's a picture of a grizzly bear, a Montana grizzly encounter. If you want to.
That's the thing I've already done.
Oh, you've done it and you live to tell about it.
I did, yeah.
What was it like? That sounds really cool.
It was really cool. I mean, it's, you know, an area where it's almost sort of like a zoo type of, you know, atmosphere where, you know, they have the grizzlies, but, you know, it's not like you can just, you know, walk up to them. They're, you know, behind a, you know, a fenced area. But no, it's really cool. And then, you know, there's a guide there that, you know, teaches you a lot of stuff about grizzlies and, you know, and also, you know, how to hike in the area and, you know, not be, you know, not upset the grizzlies.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. that survival kit there. I gotta tell you, I'm the most indoor person in the world. Like, I just love my TV. I love my couch. I love the air conditioning. But I always said, you know, I really at some point would love to like take a guy's trip, maybe for like our 40th birthday in 8 years. Me and my boys, we just go up to like rent a cabin in Montana, something like that. So if you still live there, you know, maybe we'll say hi.
Yeah, you do that.
It seems like a cool. I need to see the West Coast. I need to see the western half of America. You know, I'm very East Coast bias.
yeah. Well, you know, when I first started going out west, I became a big fan of the region. There's a lot of great stuff out there.
All right, this email sums up Al pretty well from Jake in Kansas City. Very upset to hear Al is leaving. The king of the deep leagues cannot be replaced. I've learned all of your personalities and tendencies over the past 2 years, and I've grown to love and respect Al's take on speculative ads. Not afraid to take risks and dig deep for a big payoff. That's my kind of fantasy style. Not sure how he can be replaced. I'm really going to miss Al. All hail the deep league king. Good stuff.
Thank you, Jake.
Matt in Wisconsin says, Dear Bundy, Davis, and Gore. Bundy, Davis, and Gore.
Well, I would guess Dylan.
Oh,
no, they're all Al's. I'm so sorry.
Of course they're all Al's. These are Al mails. Wanted to send my thanks to the champion. Yeah, the champion of the deep leagues, the man who made it cool to gurgle, and the guy who loved Goldschmidt well before it was cool. Cue the gold member. I love gold one last time, Al.
I love gold.
Yep, pretty good. Best wishes on your future endeavor, and now grade the trade in a categories league. Julio Teheran can be kept as a 13th rounder for 2 years for Matt Carpenter, who can't be kept. Would you give up Julio Teheran, who you can keep for 2 more years in round 13, for Matt Carpenter?
Unless there's just no way that you can contend this year, I would absolutely do that and give this trade a B, and it would be higher if not for the keeper consideration.
An email from Aaron. Dear... Jeez, Leono, Panthro, Chitara, and Tigra.
Those are Al's.
From Wednesday notes, notes from Wednesday show, Bozeman, Montana was at one time, according to the Big Bang Theory, the safest city in America. Tell Al to watch his bags. That's actually a pretty funny reference. I've seen that episode. TJ Rivera was an 80 detective show, sort of. William Shatner as TJ Hooker.
Maybe that's, close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the monorail episode was great because of the late Phil Hartman, but the best was the witness relocation episode where Homer goes to find some hammocks for his employees. I think you confused two episodes there. That wasn't, the hammock episode is not the witness relocation. That's just the, that's the Hank Scorpio episode. The witness relocation episode is amazing. That might be the best one ever. Farewell to Al. He will be missed as the most reasonable man in the podcast world. The most reasonable man. I agree with that. I don't know about the most, but very reasonable. Sure.
That's good enough for me.
All right. Last one here. This is from Mike. Always enjoyed your analysis, Al. Wish you all the success in Montana. The worst part is I only just began being able to tell Al and Heath apart. Oh, well. So in a week or so, when Ulieski Gurriel comes up, who would you rather have, Bregman or Gurriel?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say this. I'd rather have Bregman. And for me, it's really just going with the known quantity. I think both have upside as high as you can imagine. But, Bregman is already up. We, know where he's going to fit in there. We know what he did in the minor leagues. You know, Gurriel has, still a very, very small amount of minor league stats to go on. So it's just hard to imagine Gurriel could have even more potential than Bregman. So I'll go Bregman.
In deep leagues, Al's a champion of the deep leagues. So do these pitchers appeal to you at all, Al? Edwin Jackson, Ricky Nolasco, Ryan Vogelsong, Giovanni Gallardo, and Ross Detweiler. Edwin Jackson, Nolasco, Vogelsong, Gallardo, Detweiler.
Well, I don't really like any of them too much. I really don't get where this has come from for Edwin Jackson, but, it's a cool story. But Detweiler's kind of interesting because he's somebody who I felt like never really got an entirely fair shake. And, plus there were, injuries. But this start against the Orioles, really good control. That was something that looked like that could be a calling card for Detweiler. So, I'm kind of intrigued by him to see what he could do. But again, deep league special. But Gallardo, Nolasco, we pretty much know who they are. Vogelsong's been good since coming back, but also, some pretty favorable matchups too. So I can't say I entirely trust the results.
Okay. Let's do the trust-o-meter. How much do you trust Drew Pomeranz, 0 to 10? When you put him in your lineup, how much do you trust him right now?
That was a totally unintended segue on my part. I trust Pomeranz about a 6.
How about Josh Tomlin after two horrible starts in a row?
Yeah, my trust reading on Tomlin wasn't really that high when things were going well. It just seemed like he was a pretty major regression candidate, so I have to go 3.
Are we getting to the point where we can drop Josh Tomlin? He's had a really good year, but 89% owned. Tomorrow I'm going to try to look into the future and project the most drop list. Do you think Josh Tomlin will be on that list?
I think he will, and he definitely should be. I think that ownership rate should be much closer to like 60%.
Scott Kazmir is 85% owned and was pitching pretty well against the Phillies. Ran into some trouble without recording it out in the 7th. Reliever comes in, gives up a home run. 2 of the runs are charged to Kazmir. He takes a tough luck loss, but it was the Phillies after all. And trust-o-meter on Kazmir, 0 to 10.
Say about a 4, just a little better than Tomlin. Whereas with Tomlin, it's the home runs that are going to hurt him eventually. With Kazmir, it's the occasional wildness.
How about Jaime Garcia, who said he has fixed some mechanical issues and he has been more aggressive in his last two starts, and they have been 16 innings, 9 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, and 15 strikeouts, but I say he faced the Reds and the Braves. Although, to be fair, the Reds are playing pretty well right now. How much do you trust Jaime Garcia?
Yeah, I'd say about a 5. So yeah, maybe a little less than Pomeranz. Because in terms of somebody who could give you a really good result every time out, I just think Pomeranz has the greater ability to miss bats. Garcia probably a little better control, but I don't trust him all that much. And I agree. I think the matchups had probably helped Garcia, so I'll stick with 5.
Right now, Garcia, we have him as a one-start guy against the Astros. So if he is a one-start pitcher, Are you cool, even after these two impressive starts for Garcia, are you cool dropping him for, you know, I'm not going to say anyone in particular, just a two-star pitcher that you might like next week?
Yeah, if Garcia was on my roster, I think there's a very, very good chance that he's the worst one-star pitcher that I would have.
By the way, I'm looking at the two-star pitcher list, and I think Ervin Santana might be one of my favorites that's available. He's not that available. He's 72% owned. Ervin Santana's at Atlanta, revenge game, and home against, oh no, at Kansas City.
Yeah, those are great matchups.
Yeah, pretty good.
And both revenge games.
Both, right? Both revenge games. Two up, two down. Two up number one is Gary Sanchez, Yankees catcher, 35% owned, 4-for-5 with a home run and 2 runs scored last night. He's now batting .375 with a home run and 3 doubles since being recalled. And it's been a pretty brief stint so far. And he's playing a lot because they'll DH Gary Sanchez. Would you rather have Sanchez or Zunino?
I would rather have, I think I have Sanchez ranked about 2 spots ahead of Zunino. Yeah, just a little bit more trust there. You know, since Zunino had a lot of time in the majors where he really had trouble making contact, he seems to be much better now, but it's close to a coin flip. I'll go Sanchez. And like you mentioned, the playing time is certainly not going to be a problem for him.
Would it be crazy to bench Salvador Perez for Gary Sanchez?
No, I don't think so at all.
I can't stand it with Salvador Perez. I had this perfect plan of selling high on Salvador Perez because I knew the second half was going to be bad because it always is because of Ned Yost, and it didn't work. Would you rather have Sanchez or Travis d'Arnaud?
That's tough. I think it's a case where I would bench d'Arnaud.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're asking me who do I trust to start right now, it actually would be Sanchez. I really don't understand what's going on with d'Arnaud. I don't know if he's just not fully healthy or this just doesn't seem like what he's capable of.
Melvin Upton. Oh, no, not Melvin Upton yet. He's in 2 down. 2 up, number 2 is Rajay Davis, 52% owned. 7 for his last 17 with 3 steals, a home run, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. I'm not that excited, Al, but, you know, he was really good, Rajay Davis, for a nice stretch. Then he had a terrible July and sometimes sits against righties. What do you think about Davis at 52% owned?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting you were about to bring up Upton because, you know, I think they've got kind of similar appeal, but between the two, I would rather have Upton. So, yeah, I agree. I'm not excited about Davis, but he's a potential fifth outfielder in a Roto League.
Let me tell you about Melvin Upton, who is in 2 down today and 55% owned. He stole 3 bases yesterday. Yippity-doo. Since joining the Blue Jays, Upton is 6-for-41 with no extra base hits, with 2 walks and 16 strikeouts and just those 3 steals. And he had a streak. This is unbelievable. A streak of 7 straight games with exactly 2 strikeouts that recently ended. So he's been terrible, but he should be playing every day. Bautista's on the DL. Kevin Pillar is on the DL. And he's playing for Toronto. So, you know, he's been streaky this year. Melvin Upton at 55%. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Upton is back to being a must-own in a 5-outfielder Roto League. Because even before...
But he's owned there. He's already owned there. What about the shallower leagues?
I'm not so... 55%? I'm guessing there's some Roto leagues he's not in. So, you know, if he's available in that format, you can get him, go get him. But yeah, the shallower leagues, I had him in some of those earlier in the season, but benched him more than I played him and ultimately dropped him. And that was before the trade. So I still don't think that Melvin Upton needs to be owned in those formats.
Aaron Altair or Melvin Upton?
I'll go Altair.
Hernan Perez or Melvin Upton?
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, I guess I'll go Perez.
Yeah, I feel like Perez has really cooled off. Let's take a look at the game log here. Yeah, I mean, he has.
Yeah, well, I never completely bought into the power, but then again, I didn't buy into it with Upton entirely either. But I just think the steals will probably come for both of them. But for whatever reason, I trust a little bit more with Perez, and the fact that he's third base eligible probably is a bit of a tiebreaker.
Just looking at his last 7 games, Perez is 4-for-26 with no home runs, with 1 walk and 6 strikeouts and 1 steal. So he's cooled down for sure. Let's see. Mark Trumbo, since the All-Star break, is batting 158 with four walks and 26 strikeouts, three home runs. Second half Trumbo. Uh-oh. Are you concerned?
Not really. Not really. I don't think he's this bad, just about as much as I didn't believe that he was as good as he was in the first half.
All right. Fringy starting pitchers, if you're in a shallower league, the following players are available to you. Al, who are your favorites? Ian Kennedy, Blake Snell, Jeremy Hellickson, Bartolo Colon, and Robbie Ray.
Let's see. And I may have... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I missed Hellickson in the notes. I was following with you along there. So this group, I'd say... Actually, I like Hellickson the best.
Okay. But Hellickson, I think, is a one-start guy. I think Snell is a one-start guy. Ray has two starts. Kennedy has two starts at Detroit and home against Minnesota. So those are not good matchups. And
so for next week, the only one that I would almost certainly start is Ray. Hellickson would be a borderline case. Snell, who had been doing much better, and Grant, that's a tough matchup that he had at Toronto, he's pretty borderline in one-start week still.
Yeah, I traded for Blake Snell a few starts ago. This was obviously a terrible... You think I'm going to win pitching this week? I have Blake Snell, David Robertson, Vince Velasquez. How do you think I'm going to do?
Yeah, you're going to need the rest of your staff to be really good.
Yeah, they're not going to be. maybe Lester. I think I have Pineda, too. Did he get beat up yet, or was that last week?
I think that was last week.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So the thing about Snell, even when he was doing pretty well, you know, he's struggling to go six innings. He's walking a ton of guys. The whip is just a problem.
Yeah. And there's really no reason to think, based on what he's done in the majors or the minors, that that's going to change.
Finish up with some news items. Cameron Maben's on the DL with a sprained thumb, retroactive to August 4th. Jose Reyes is going to start a rehab assignment today. David Peralta had season-ending wrist surgery. Odubel Herrera, 92% owned. He once again sat against a lefty for a guy who can't hit lefties. He did steal a base off the bench, but do you think Herrera is 92% owned? Is he going to be on the most drop list soon? Oh, wait. Did I say, do you think he's over-owned, or did I say, do you think he's 92% owned?
I honestly, I don't remember.
Because he is 92% owned. Do you think he's over-owned?
I think he's a little over-owned. Yeah, I think Herrera is probably more of about an 80% ownership guy, close to universal ownership, but doesn't need to be owned in shallow leagues. Doesn't need to be, it's even 12-team, three outfielder leagues. Kind of take him or leave him in those formats. I still think he could rebound from this kind of slide that he's been on because he had been dealing with the infection in his foot. I think that's a part of the issue, and then the mechanical issues at the plate he's been working on.
Jorge Soler sat yesterday.
That's not good.
Yeah. Matt Duffy expected to come off the DL Friday. Francisco Cervelli left with wrist discomfort, and you probably don't have to stash Mike Minor. He won't pitch until September, might only get a couple of starts. Some emails to end the show out. We got to cut it off a little early, so let's go fast here. This is from Sean in D.C., who do you want to stash as a DL guy, a DL stash? Brantley, Glasnow, Sonny Gray, Alex Cobb, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, or CJ Krohn?
I'll go Alex Cobb here. Just like Scott said yesterday, it's I'm really starting to lose hope with Michael Brantley.
Yeah. Here's Robert Warren. I've been offered a trade, his Myers for my Odor, or Odor probably. In a dynasty league, I currently have Ortiz at first base, Dozier at second, Odor at utility. Should I give up Odor and get Will Myers, who would eventually replace, you know, David Ortiz in his dynasty league?
Yeah, I would do that. And that's a big change for me, cause I've had Odor high in my rankings for much of the year, Myers relatively low. But, you know, for all the skepticism I had about Myers in the first half, I think he's been even better in the second half.
Oh, I don't think so. He had that pretty bad slump coming out of the break.
Well,
but yeah, he has rebounded nicely.
Yeah, certainly lately, if not second half overall, he's been very hot of late.
This one is from a guy who just took CJ Anderson in the first round of my football draft. That's a reference to how much I love CJ Anderson. Not that much. Don't take him in the first round. What position will Kyle Schwarber be eligible at next year?
I would think just outfield, because I think that's the only place he played.
Dude, we went through hell and back with Victor Martinez a few years ago. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's bring this up to start the show tomorrow, or at least early in the show with Scott, because I remember how much of a drama that was. And I am stashing Schwarber in a different website, Keeper League. But if he's, even if he's outfield eligible, I mean, he still could be a pretty damn good hitter, but mm-hmm. I hope he's catcher eligible.
Well, and he could gain catcher eligibility. I mean, I have no idea what the future plans would be for him. I don't know if he's going to be a Cub.
Right.
There's been a lot of trade rumors about Schwarber. So
yeah, they were refusing to give him up for Andrew Miller, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
Doug in Atlanta. David Dahl's on fire. Is this an accurate representation of what David Dahl can do, and what's his value next year in a keeper league?
Yeah, pretty darn high. I mean, I don't know that he'll be quite this good, but I think he's going to be a fixture in 12-team mixed leagues.
And here's one from Owen. Al is leaving Montana? Say it ain't so, Al. I was so disappointed when I heard the news in yesterday's podcast. You seem like a very kind, intelligent, and thoughtful person. I wish you luck in all of your future endeavors.
Well, that is really just super nice. And I mean, everybody has just been so responsive on Twitter and email. It's really overwhelming. I honestly just don't even know what to say, but just thanks to everyone who's extended their wishes. And again, I'll be around on Twitter and elsewhere, but the elsewhere is to be announced.
There you go. All right, that's it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, very much for contributing. Thank you for supporting the theme song. And thank you for supporting Al. One more show. You got to listen to Al's finale tomorrow. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll see you later.